Lord God, we pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts will be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ. My name is Pastor Jason Taylor, and it's good to be with you today. I have been used to all of my growing up years being out there. And I've never been up here, I don't think, in this church. But it's good to be with you. I grew up here and was baptized when I was 4 days old here at Grace and was confirmed here and was even ordained here about 13 years ago. And so it is good to be with you as Grace Lutheran here in Caldwell, Idaho has done a lot of sharing God's word and investing and planting God's seed into my heart and my life. I want to praise God for the ministry that he has established here at Grace and Caldwell. So the Lord bless you and be with you today. In October of 1987, Northwest Airlines Flight 225 crashed after taking off from the Detroit airport. 150 passengers were killed in that crash. There was only one survivor. It was one little girl. Her name was Cecilia. The rescuers found Cecilia wandering around in the wreckage of the plane, and they didn't really think that she had been on the plane until they found her name recorded as one of the passengers. You see, she survived because before the crash, her mother, realizing what was about to happen, unbuckled herself from her seat. She got down on the floor and she wrapped herself around her daughter, and she took the full brunt of the fall so that her daughter would not. My dear friends, that's what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. You see, we've all had a fall. We've had a pretty big fall. We've had a fall from being right with God in that wonderful relationship with our Father, and we've had a fall. You know, the fall into sin is very evident around us, isn't it? Can't you just look out today and you're probably, probably some of us tuned into the news this morning to check out the old hurricane, right? And, you know, there's the evidence of the fall right there. I mean, you see the destruction, you see the chaos, you see the devastation, you see the loss of life, you see the fear, you see what's going on. That right there is evidence of the fall. This last week at the church that I serve in Indiana, and I serve in a small little town outside of Indianapolis, the grandson of our church was shot and killed, you know, just 2 days ago. So you see evidence of the fall all the time, don't you? And you don't even have to look in the news or at hurricanes or a shooting. You and I can look right inside our own hearts and minds. We can look right into our thoughts and our motives. We can look at ourselves. And quite honestly, if we took a good look, we would definitely see the sin that we all possess. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us know what it means to carry around the weight of our sin. There is no one righteous, no one, not one. And so you and I are encouraged here today to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of throne of God. You see, what God did is he saw your fall coming. And before even the foundation of the world, God knew that he would send his son to wrap his arms around you, so that you would have a way out of that awful fall. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, has taken the full brunt of the fall for you. He's taken on that wrath of God, and he loves you that much. See, the world that you and I live in is very aware of the effects of the fall. Do you believe that? You know, people in our world know that we live in a broken world. It's all around us. But they don't know is the love of God in Jesus Christ. What they don't know is what God has done on their behalf. I was out on the golf course the other day, and I was playing a match against another guy. And so Loris Navis here, he taught me some of my golf game. But Loris, I have to say, I hit a bad shot. Okay, I hit a bad shot. And my bad golf shot ended up in a dirt patch. And it was obviously ground under repair, right? It was just like bare, hard ground dirt. And so I asked my opponent, I said, "Hey, can I move my ball?" He said, "Well, God put your ball there. Deal with it." It's like, God put your ball there. You go talk to God about that. And I got to thinking about his statement. It's like, because this guy's not, he doesn't go to church. He's not a believer. And it's very evident. Got to thinking about his statement. Yeah, God put your ball there. You go talk to God about that. When the world sees the consequences of the brokenness that is around us in the world, what do they do? What do they think? Where do they go? I think that friend of mine, the golf challenger that I had that day, he summed up a little bit of what the world thinks. That's God's fault. God's to blame. And so I should just be mad at God. Well, yeah, guess what my thought was for my challenger? I don't blame God for my bad golf shots and my mistakes. And I think there's some truth in that for us then theologically. And God's word would bear it out for us. It said, I'm the rebel. I'm the sinner. And the sin in this world is there because of you and me. God has done something great in response to your sin and mine. And that is sending his son, Jesus, so that you might be rescued. God loves you and me so much that he would have his son die. That he would have his son come down in this broken world and take on that cross and the agony and the pain so that you might know healing and restoration and love and life. And so you are challenged as Grace Lutheran Church here in this community to help people to see Jesus and to have their eyes fixed on him too. That's your calling. That's who you are. And in so many ways, I know that you are already doing that. I can say that because I know that you did it for me. You know, I'm a son of the congregation. God's word came to me so many times and so many weeks and in so many ways right here in this place. I got to know the cross and I got to know Jesus because of God working through the ministry right here. You know, I a lot of things have remained the same here at Grace. I think the carpet's the same. I think the candles are the same. although I wonder, when I was an acolyte, I remember acolyting for the first time, and they were real candles, right, like the wax candles. So we poured lighter fluid in the candles so that we made sure that we didn't fail at acolyting our first time. I don't know, are these real wax candles, or they got the fluid in them? So they're... I see you have a change there. You know, I love your screen, being able to look up and sing the songs. I love that. Wow, your parking lot out in the back, that is beautiful. Beautiful pavilion out there that you have to gather in. I know a lot of things haven't changed. The Word of God hasn't changed. The message of grace hasn't changed. You still have, I understand, a wonderful youth ministry going on. You have a preschool to share the message with the little children of the community. You have a lot of wonderful Bible studies that are taking place. I have to tell you, Mike and Lori Houston were big influences. You know, they really were. I remember... Scott Rainey and I don't know if you remember, Scott and I were good friends. And Scott Rainey and I think, went up to Mike and Lori Houston when we were about eighth grade, and we said, would you be our youth leaders? I don't know what kind of youth ministry we had before that. I think it, you know, probably had something. I know my brother and sister didn't have a whole lot, but Mike and Lori stepped up. And I remember the first time we went into the little youth room downstairs, and there's Lori Houston. If you know Lori, you know she has just a heart of gold, just a compassionate heart. She's so loving and kind. And she was trying to lead the Bible study, right? And she's the quiet voice of Lori. And we were probably, you know, troubling teenagers, right? And then we looked in the back, and we weren't the trouble. It was Mike. It's Mike, and so Mike was cracking jokes and you know, distracting right along with the best of us, and we knew right then that Mike and Lori would be our youth leaders, and they just had fun with us, and they loved us, and they shared God's word with us through those years, and I know that through so many years they have done that. And I know you have a wonderful ministry going on right now, and you have an incredible family life minister in Amy. Amy, I remember I was up at camp as a counselor, and Amy would come up and then she continued on in that tradition. And Amy is just a wonderful, wonderful child of God, and you're blessed. You're blessed with a wonderful pastor. I've gotten to know Pastor Brooks, and he's just such a wonderful man to lead you here in this church and to share God's word with you. You are blessed in this place. I remember going to Vacation Bible School with my lunch sack. A couple of things I remember of how God planted his word in my heart. And we'd stay. I don't know how long we stayed. I'm not sure. I think it was a long time. Now we only let kids stay for 2 hours or three. I think we stayed all day, right? For Vacation Bible School, it was a long time. We brought our sack lunch. And I loved it. And God's word was planted. All the ways that you serve the Lord and you reach out. I want to tell you, I think it's so important that you're engaged in your community here of sharing Jesus. And I want to encourage you in that. And I understand you have something called Love Your City, and that you get out in your community. Because people don't know Jesus. And they need to. They need to know what God did in regard to our brokenness. They need to have their eyes fixed on Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith. They need to know the Lord. God has provided so much for you, and God desires for you to share that with others. You and I are living in the joy of the shadow of the cross of Christ. And to know the love of God, that he willingly laid down his life, what a joy we have. Just in closing, I want to share with you this story. There was an orphan boy who was living with his grandmother. when their two-story house caught on fire. The grandmother died trying to save her grandson, but another man found the boy, a man who climbed up a superheated drain pipe and shimmied down with the boy on his back. A month later, there was a public hearing that was conducted to decide where the boy would live. A farmer came forward and said that he could offer the child a good home and some solid values. A teacher volunteered, promising him a good education. The town's wealthiest citizen made an offer sweetened by the fact that the boy would never lack for creature comforts. And then a man walked to the front and revealed his hands. And they were covered with still burned marks. The boy jumped up and threw himself in the arms of this man and gave him a big bear hug because he knew that this was the man who had saved his life. This was the man who had given up his hands for him. And he clung to that man. The wounds had left their mark. I tell you, friends, Jesus' hands tell it all. Jesus' love knows no bounds. You are forgiven. You are free of your sins. Go and tell others of Christ. Go and live in response to the love of Jesus Christ in your life. Look at his hands and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and laid down and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord's peace be with you today. Amen.